Hello there, I'm Veronica Scaresbrick. I'd now like to join my next guest on this broadcast, who will be sharing with us some very personal memories of John Paul II. He's one who organised much of this Roman Pontiff's globe-trotting, ever present and indeed chief organiser of his journeys from 1994 right until 2001. He's Cardinal Roberto Tucci, and I began by asking him about that first historical journey back home of John Paul II back in 1979. And from his first days in office, Pope John Paul declared that his Polishness was to be an essential part of his pontificate. He actually said in his inaugural mass, "The church in Poland has become a church of special witness towards which the eyes of the world are turned." That first trip back to Poland, his second trip abroad, you didn't organise it, but you were present at that. Yeah. That was a historical moment. Let's imagine it a moment, Warsaw's great Victory Square, and instead of having a hammer and sickle, we have the cross of Christianity. And the leader of the time, Edward Jarek, controlling it from a hotel room overlooking. What do you remember about that?
Well, I remember that certainly it was a great shock to the Polish people, who were depressed with the communist regime, and they started recuperating hope. And first of all, the Pope gave them the impression that somebody very important in the world, but most especially in the Roman Catholic Church, was with them and was defending the human rights of the Polish nation against the regime. Of course, it was a very difficult situation. The Pope very often criticizing openly the communist ideology was facing, the reaction of the government. So the Pope was able to speak without, let us say, depassing the line of security. Of course, the government was protesting. The representatives of the government were protesting with the people accompanying the Holy Father to alert the Holy Father not to insist too much on criticizing their ideology. But as a matter of fact, Pope went on, and nobody was able to stop him. Of course, it was too dangerous even for a communist regime to stop the Pope in front of the international public opinion.
We know what the consequences of this very mediatic event were in Poland. Pope John Paul acted as a catalyst. No, would you say that he acted as a catalyst in unraveling a situation?
Well, first of all, let us say that the government, having the control of the media, tried to prove that the Pope was speaking only to nuns, seminarians, religious people, avoiding that on television the public in Poland could see the great crowds facing the Holy Father. But the people who were participating, of course, after they have heard what had happened in the public television, they protested. They were protesting. They knew very well that this was fake. It was really a lie. And in Italy, I remember that there was with us in Poland during the trip a very able a man of the Italian television who, with a camera, was accumulating proofs that in front of the Holy Father were masses, and not only just a very small, reduced group of church people. And with that material, every night here in Italy, we could see what the Polish television was showing and what the reality was. Anyway, I think that was the starting moment of what happens later on with Solidarność, of course.
I think that the Pope said in the homily that day in Warsaw's Great Victory Square that Christ cannot be kept out of the history of man in any part of the globe at any longitude or latitude. You witnessed and organised many of the Pope's journeys abroad. What was special about his Polishness, his Polish journeys? Was there something special that you can pinpoint about the Polish journeys as opposed to the other journeys abroad?
Oh, well, the Pope was adapting his message to the needs of the people who were facing him during the big masses. I mean, he was celebrating in every country he was visiting. The Polish situation was always in the first plan of his own way of approaching the problems of the nations he was visiting. Certainly, I mean, in some particular cases, there was a similar situation when he visited countries where religious freedom was not really completely given to the country. For example, in his first visit to Mexico, at the time, Mexico was a very Christian country governed by very anti-clerical politicians. And of course, there was a similarity between the situation in Mexico and the situation in Poland, even if the ideology was different. It was not so much a Marxist ideology in Mexico as it was in Poland. But the Pope was facing similar situation. But the principle was always in every country where he was visiting, Mexico, Poland, Sudan, where the Christians were persecuted, in other countries where the majority of the population was connected with Islam, he was always insisting on human rights, on the rights of the man to be respected, especially in his religious approach to life. For him, religious liberty was the fundamental principle of every other rights. I mean, if there is no religious liberty, he would consider that there was not really freedom in that country. And so there was a very great similarity between the Pope's visiting Poland and the Pope visiting Mexico, visiting Sudan, visiting other countries where the majority was Islamic. Even when he was in Holland, for example, or in France, he was insisting on human rights everywhere, but insisting very much on religious liberty. And of course, insisting on the fact that religion is not only a private thing. As the right, the man, the believers have the right to express their faith also regarding, I mean, problems of social conditions, of politics and so on.
Particularly in his journeys, he brought hope with him. But he was also sometimes very sad or angry. There were some of his journeys, for example, in Poland, where he expressed that anger, no?
Well, I think that, of course, I mean, the Pope was a very strong character. I saw him rather very, not in angry, but very seriously, I mean, reproaching to the communist ideology the conditions in which, I mean, the Christians were living in the country. Most especially in Poland, he was insisting between the contrast between the political ideology and the nation. So in some way he was finding that in Poland the ideology of a minority was oppressing the nation. Similar situation would provoke his anger, or let's say his very strong a position against all the faults regarding, I mean, freedom. But I remember also he was very angry, really angry, when Nicaragua, the Sandinists, who at that time they had the government of the country in their hands, were trying to silence the Holy Father during the big mass in the capital town, Managua. At that moment, I remember the Pope was very strong. I mean, silence, silence, he was crying. I mean, in the sense that they had organized in such a way that put microphones, I mean, in the crowds, in that part of the crowds facing the altar where they have gathered all the people in favor of the Sandinists. were protesting, so that the crowd at the mass could not be listened to the Holy Father, because the voice of those minor groups facing the altar were prevailing over the voice of the Holy Father. And he was really angry at that moment. But at the end, I remember the Holy Father saying that notwithstanding the opposition of those groups, he could see how the crowd was following his speech, because they were applauding at the right moments. And so he said, really, I understood that they were following me, even if I was disturbed all the time through the interventions of those choirs, Sandinist choirs, I mean, trying to shut up the Holy Father.
Yes, well, undoubtedly he had a great mediatic ability. Getting back to the places of his life prior to being a pope in Poland, it was important to him to get back to his roots, wasn't it? Did you ever get the idea that he was emotional when he got back to Poland?
Well, of course, he loved very much his country. And being a country which was suffering very much, this really affectionate feeling were very strong. But the Pope was always very conscious that he was the Pope of the Universal Church, and not only, or not most especially, of the Polish main people. I don't think that he was so Polish that he couldn't really love also other countries with great love, in trying to understand their problems. No, I never had that impression. He could be very affectionate with the Latin American countries, like Mexico, like Brazil, or in the part of Indonesia, which was oppressed by the Islamic government at the time, in Timor, in the most oriental part of Timor. No, I don't think so. Especially, I always had experience with the Holy Father, how deeply moved he was when he was visiting countries where there is great poverty. And generally, when he was visiting not only the capital town, the people in the capital town generally are accustomed to see head of states visiting the country and so on. But he was very much insisting with me, especially when he was going to large countries, both in Latin America or in Africa, that he wanted to go to minor towns, because he knew that being poor countries, those masses could never have the money enough to visit Rome and meet him. And he was very moved when he was visiting those crowds outside the capital towns, both in Latin America and in Africa.
Warm thanks there to Cardinal Roberto Tucci for so generously sharing with us his very personal memories. Thanks for listening. I'm Veronica Scaresbrick.